let me welcome the Commissioner and the Ocean to our one of the very important meetings where we in this department on the budget that it is presenting. I think it is important that we introduce ourselves as members of parliament, but also let me welcome the minister that is here and any other person who is here. These are open meetings, and anyone who wants to be part of them is free to be part of them. I am from the chief member and the secretary of the committee on police. I come from the Madame Alessian and allow members to introduce themselves. Even if I think the dedication comes up, know us now, but let us allow them to take it.
I'm Debbie Fraser, I'm from ODA, and I'm from the Commission Patron. And I'm the former to dedicate the land for consider itself.
My name is Nguri Josh, member of this committee on the Congress of the People, Province, Eastern Cape.
Thank you very much. We also have our support staff on the right hand side of the commission. This is our sector, left hand side, the chairman of our support staff. I'm the commissioner on the 29th of September, 2009, the president met the police station commissioner in Pakistan. I decided to pick up the official president said in his address on the stage. The president said, and I quote, we pointed out in the state commission address that we work to achieve a visible improvement in the cycle of crime. Our key message for the next 5 years is that working together we can do more, such as the manner in which we are going to work to achieve our goals. To achieve a turnaround in credit delivery, we have to harness the expertise, energy, and the commitment of all our public servants and managers who are our most important resources in the task of governing the country. In this inspection, we send out one message. It is not business as usual for public servants who are in the crisis of credit delivery. We will recall that in the State of the Nation address in June this year, 2009, we said that we had changed the name of the ministry from State and Security to Police in order to emphasize that we wanted real operational energy in the country. This energy should see us reduce the and violent crime by the state target of 7% per annum. Last week, the Minister of Police released the National Crime Statistics. The statistics
statistics underscores the correctness of our decision to isolate crime as one of the key five priorities. The figures demonstrate considerable progress that we have recorded in bringing down the levels of certain types of crime, notably in five of the seven conduct crimes as well as in other forms of aggravated robbery. But most significantly, the statistics remind us that we must work harder to dent the three problematic categories of crime, house and business robbery, as well as carjacking. These forms of crime tend to invoke feelings of insecurity among South Africans because in most cases, the victims are measured permanently maimed or sexually assaulted and are left with permanent scars. Ladies and gentlemen, the President said, we have set very high targets for ourselves. This means that our police management will have to work much harder. If a police station is identified as a high crime incident area and resources are allocated to it, then failure should result in a nation being taken against its management. Many of our police officers work with a high level of devotion, commitment, and sacrifice. We want to encourage this work ethic. Going forward, we agree, we urge you to dedicate yourself to work with us to develop a new culture and ethos within the police service. Let us work towards developing a new kind of police officer. This new police officer must be committed to serving the public with dedication, commitment, discipline, integrity, heart, and passion. Police stations must be the hope of community. For our part, we do our best to ensure that you are provided with the resources that will enable you to deliver on our expectations. In February this year, in his State of the Nation address, the President declared 2010 as the year of action. The President said, we will do things matter better and faster. Our interaction today and going forward will help to in a way be responding to some of these issues which the President said. In order for 2010 to be the year of action, we really want the Department to tell us as to what it is that the Department will do better, smarter and faster through its 2010-2011 budget and strategic plan. We take note of the many good things that are happening within the Department of Police and the JCPS. On the 15th of January this year, we witnessed the destruction of 80,211 firearms at the Renegade. Indeed, the destruction of those firearms and others that followed meant disarming criminals of 80,601 firearms. Such acts are indeed regarded as multiple achievements. Yesterday, the Minister of Police indicated that soon the South African National Defence Force would be deployed to our borderline, probably by the 1st of April. This is appreciated as the portfolio committee would want to be fully briefed on this important move, which of course we appreciate. Let me also appreciate the fact that indeed we did receive your responses to our questions that were not answered in our Pretoria meeting in January this year. Today, we are 92 days to the kick-off of the FIFA Soccer Cup. We acknowledge the fact that safety and security of the event is of paramount importance, and the fact that most of our energy, time, and focus will have to be devoted to that event. In this regard, we really want to cooperate as the portfolio committee, but for as long as we are informed. I just wanted to make this remark as I open this meeting today, so that as we deliberate for the department, we keep in mind some of the issues that have been raised
in particular by the President, but also by the documents that are before us, the Constitution of the Oath. I will now hand over to the National Commissioner to inform us as to who is in here, but also to take us through the presentation, and then of course that will be followed by interaction between the government and the department. Welcome, Mr. Commissioner, and your delegation, and over to you.
Madam Chairperson, thank you very much. Continue to you and the committee on the Kula Kintan, then the few previous days, in Rochus and Queens. I don't know whether to start with the introduction, and I believe that the individual member introducing or herself, their ranks and what they do, so that the community understands very well who is here and how serious we take the community to descend and make sure that everybody is here. I'll start with myself, and I'll allow the two off-site gentlemen to introduce themselves and then we'll move left. My name is Terry Pele. I'm the National Commissioner of the South African Police, which I've been told recently by the Minister that the Cabinet has passed the new ranks, and now one is called the General. Surely everybody will be there by that, and surely the proposal implemented in April, but the Cabinet has taken that place. I'm based in Pretoria, originally come from Italy. That is Lord in your cat. It happened that the name of Kanapana at the Mokai. So we come from the same town in Italy. One of the members, Kanapana, is the Mokai one. So I'll ask these two gentlemen to introduce themselves and then we move
next. Mr. Chair, I'm the Kenyan Commission. I'm not going to make it to
you. Good morning, Madam Chair, and honorable members. I'm the Divisional Commissioner of the Division Ops. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Martha Stoner, Deputy National Commission responsible for community management and organization and development.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members. I am Bonam Christine Wenya, Assistant Commissioner in the Office of the National Commissioner, originally from Bush Fabric, Mopilani, Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Deputy Commissioner, and Deputy National Commissioner Keller, responsible for supply chain management, protecting the security services, the national environment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm the Regional Commissioner of Wunda, and supply chain management.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Commissioner Shavalala, protecting and security services. Responsible for VIP, railway, corporate energy, regulated traffic commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the honorable member. I'm the Regional Commissioner of Police, Head of Traffic Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Ray Lala, Regional Commissioner of the Traffic Services. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair, honorable members. Division Commission Gary Cruiser, Head of Trading Traffic Police Service.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. My name is Manu Kunche. I'm a Divisional Commission responsible for performance with the planning, negotiating conditions of service, and credit
management. Good morning, Chairperson. I'm the Divisional Commission Secretary, responsible for finance and administration of the Deputy Police Service.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Divisional Commissioner Pashani from Personal Services.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Assistant Commissioner Workrop, the Head of Strategic Management, and I'm a matter to say on all members. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Civil Services. I'm Acting Divisional Commissioner today.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Divisional Commissioner Lamour, Visible Policy.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Andrei Price, Operational Services Secretary.
Honourable Chair and Members, I'm Andrei Rakhikhanta, National Secretary.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Director Murray, from Protection Security Services Finance.
My name is Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Assistant Commissioner Boca, responsible for forensic and laboratory. Thank you.
I wonder if I may ask before we begin about the Divisional Commissioner in the UN in Cancun, who I believe has been suspended. Your officers are suggesting we speak to Commissioner Sander. On what charges she's being suspended and details of that. I see we have an acting person here in her stead. So if you could fill us in that before we move on, I appreciate it.
And I'm particularly that should be done for the object taken to you. But when we take questions, because I think it's going to be called the condition now. But I also wanted to know if who is from the forensics and commentary.
Thank you.
I'm from Canada.
Thank you very much. I'm from the current place.
I didn't see that here. Madam Chair, Divisional Commissioner Bernard New is the new Divisional Commissioner of INHOC. He has not been there before. Chekhov, I think Commissioner Mchinko has been suspended and charged, and we have put all the procedures and measures legally and we have to end there until we get all the outcomes as it has been done. Yes, indeed, it's true that they suspended and charged. Now, can we thank you for the opportunity to come and the members of this delegation will speak on several issues. Basically, the budget, but I would expect that the committee would expect to hear our strategic plan. And because the budget will be speaking to that, if we agree to start there, and some areas of performance. But let me take the opportunity again, Madam Chair, I did in a family unit budget when we met in Pretoria. I had just come from work on the issues of 2010. So as I opened the phone, I was told that we are immediately needed in Pretoria. So I had to drive straight to Pretoria. And one was in the same gear that was in, because when usually we travel, we want to travel in, I was in the tracksuit. And I was in Turkey. So I went straight there. So I apologize that I've offended some members for coming in the tracksuit. Do I apologize and explain on the same day? I'm taking this opportunity to apologize again. I will try an example, but when there was an emergency again, I might be apologizing in advance that it might happen again, to come and see if we can work under those conditions. So I apologize because I know that it did become the big issue that I was in taking from the structure. I was absolutely not undermining you, just a cancer to that extent. Madam Chair, we take note of the 2010 issues you have raised. Issues are quite involved in the role of the development of the it's just the word hovering descending on us on the matter. The members that you see here, some of them have been in Zurich, came back 2 days back, about 48 hours, and they had a good mission. We met all participating countries, chief of police and the chief of security for individual teams. All countries were there, save three, Chile, would understand why Chile would not be there, Ghana and North Korea, but everybody was there. They took us very serious. There were 110 delegations from these countries, and we took them serious because we were a delegation of 11, including army and including intelligence community. We presented the plan that we go to the building campus, and everybody gave it a thumbs up. We take note that the chair would love to be taken on board. I think if we are given the opportunity some other time, it would be nice to take you through the plan, what the South African police and all other agencies are preparing to protect South Africans and their guests as we go on for 2010. Is a big job, Madam Chair. It's a really huge job, so it would be nice to share it with yourselves so that we get the support we need. We need that support at big time from every South African, especially the government structure, and all of them have a lot to help with support. That's 92 feet, as you said. The other thing we'll share is that during 2010, there will be other activities that need to be policed. One of them will be here in Cape Town, I think there will be a conference of CEOs of 500 or 600 top companies in the world, addressed by several ministers coming from different countries. So we have to promise that within 2010, I think it will be summer 26th of June. So we have to do that. We have just got the request to accommodate from the 26th of this month the African Development Bank Conference that was supposed to be in Ivory Coast, but it's coming in South Africa because of the deteriorating political situation there. So there are quite several others. So police is really busy. So we wouldn't mind, as well as that, if we can be given the opportunity to share our program come with time because it is a very high activity policing program given Pakistan that is here finally. Madam Chair, we will proceed and give the strategic plan for next basically 4 years, usually called 5 years, but we end there as you see 2014. That should be 2015 April. But the term of this government will end 2014. So we've taken a conscious decision to say our money must fall within the time given to us. Or rather, beginning to overlap and allow people that will be there come 2014 to 2019 to do the job. That's one thing that we're trying to do in the government, to work within our time to deliver our mandate rather than to begin to arrest or detain other people on other time. So that's why our strategic planning ends April 2015, but it definitely falls within this year, this term will see, which is 5 years. Then we'll move to annual plan, and then we'll move to budget that speaks to these strategies. We have said it before, we have taken note of what the President has said. Trying to move and expand the process of excellence within the South African police, which is there, to try to replace the pockets of disaster within the South African police, which is there. So we are trying to increase and expand this effort. So the budget will try to speak to that. We have said time and again that we'll be entering on three letters, Chair. We are trying to put the lot of infrastructure and create some accountability to the service delivery. It is a fact. If you go to places like Umsinga, there is a place where people pay 50 rand to go to the nearest station, police station. And they pay 50 rand to go back home. That's 100 rand. Which means if they live on 240 rand of the child grant, 100 rand goes to the reporting of crime that might not even be properly followed. And what that woman would not do is to go and report, even if she has been abused and be abused again that night because she has no access of reporting. So we're trying to work on those things to see how fast we go with this police station and accessibility. So infrastructure will be one of the pillars for this term and this administration. The second one that we want to move on it would be skilling of the South African police now. To improve the skills on them so that it's not just the quantity, it's not just the ordinary police you see there, but it's the police officer that can respond to the situation as it stands at the present moment. Crime is getting more sophisticated almost every day and in a bigger way. Unfortunately, Madam Chair, crime has so much advantage than the agencies, policing agencies. Sometimes they are more united, they plan more together, they have no restriction of passports, they have no restriction of visas, they have no restriction of portfolio committee that don't account for their money, so they just push the budget. So there are those areas that want to maximize the unity going forward, both in skills and in action. We are also trying to go even beyond the South African College Children's Department with the neighboring countries using the structure of the SAPCO in order to make sure that we are really pushing back the frontiers of evil. So that's what we'll be doing. We're trying to put more. As it stands, Madam Chair, we have reduced the intake. And we are opening colleges for retake, taking members from participation stations, sending them back to college to improve the skills in terms of policy. The third one that we're trying to anchor, Madam Chair, is IT. Policy in general and internationally is nothing but that, it's technology and IT. We're trying to put the lot of technology in the presentation. There is one other thing that we put on this matter. I was talking to Commissioner Drama this morning about the working together with the business on technology issues and the results that is beginning to yield clearly with the proper technology in place. We can do much, much more when it comes to crime. Maybe for sharing this information before I'm not allowed to go. One of the structures of the process, Madam Chair, South African airport has been taken over by the South African police. South African police is responsible for policing the airport. All this time they've been giving the support, in policy. Now they've been playing the leading role in policy. We're preparing for that, especially those that will be hosting efforts. The minister and some of us have met around the country to look what we do. Already people are in training, except that it's taking a lot of membership again. All our time alone, we need about 1,600 South African police members, all our time alone. 1,600. They are being trained for the moment to make them understand the United 2010 as it comes is not the war. 2010 as it comes is a festive of festivities. It's a time to play, it's a time to behave. But South Africans are all ambassadors, including the South African police members. That's how we should behave. Take a step back, accept the sea crime, but you should not try to overtake and be more important than the game. So that as you come to South Africa, doesn't matter how you make sense. But especially if you work either in Cape Town International or Kinshasa International, you are the first person people they meet and you are the last person they see every year. So give them the picture. So that's the kind of training besides the policy issue, but it's to put the human face on the South African policy. So we should hope we will succeed. So members then will go for us. I think the first member that will go for strategic planning is Commissioner Mahal. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. After passing through on the presentation of the strategic plan of the police, which includes the vision, mission, mandate, and code of conduct and ethics, we're going to look at the legislators and other mandates, including the constitutional, legislative, and policy mandates. Done a situational analysis. We have the priorities of the police in the presentation. We're going to look at long-term infrastructure and capital asset plan. We will also, there will also be a presentation on the service delivery improvement program, including the information and communication technology plan, and of course our human resource management plan as required by treasury regulations. If we can look at the following slide, our constitutional mandate, Madam Chair, this is what our mandate is in terms of section 205, and I think we've presented this, this many times, but it's to prevent, combat, and investigate crime, and it includes the other issues done as indicated by the Constitution. If we then move to the next slide, Madam Chair, we're looking at a legislative standard in terms of administration. Now, one of the legislation which we are responsible for is, of course, the Police Act, the protection of constitutional democracy against terrorism and related activities, Firearms Control Act, Explosive Act, PSS Act, and various others as listed in this presentation. I'm not going to name them all, they are there, Madam Chair. Then, if we continue to the next slide, Madam Chair, we're looking at the where does the tax derive its powers from, and also its function. Of course, this is also looking in terms of our mandate, which buffers our mandate, the South African Police Service Act, the Criminal Procedure Act, the Interception and Monitoring Prohibition Act, and the Domestic Violence Act, and the Act also listed down below, Madam Chair. If we then continue and look at the policy mandate in terms of the medium-term strategic framework, we're looking at improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the criminal justice system by enhancing the detective and forensic environment, of course. Also, looking at modernizing the criminal justice system through the application of technology solutions. The National Commissioners alluded to the skill enhancement and increasing the number of investigators and forensic experts. Mobilizing the population in the fight against crime. We're also looking at accelerating efforts to reduce serious and violent crimes. We are looking at intensifying of efforts to combat crimes against women and children, and the establishment of a border management agency, and also important, combat corruption in the public and private sector. Moving forward, Chairperson, looking at the next slide, the JCPS cluster priorities, levels of overall contact crime and real crimes, acceleration of efforts to reduce contact crimes by 34% and real crimes by 31% by the 31st of March 2014. We also looking at the effectiveness and integration of criminal justice system, the management of crime perceptions, the effectiveness and integration of border management. You will see a similar, the JCPS has similar issues as the medium-term strategic framework. And if we go to the next slide, Madam Chair, which is also very important, which indicates the status priorities and where it derived from. We're talking about the President's State of the Nation, 11th February, and also looking back, as you've mentioned, of the September 1, the deliberations from the National Commissioner's Strategic Planning Session. The critical analysis by our Deputy National Commissioners, Provincial Commissioners, and the Divisional Commissioners, the conversation with the President, we've taken that into account, and issues identified by the National Commissioner. But of course, Chairperson, it's not included in the slide. The JCPS cluster priority is also taken into account in details. It's taken into account our international relations, which the Commissioner also alluded to, was taken into account. Then it is important to note, Chairperson, that the strategic priorities provide a 4-year direction. The strategic priorities will be implemented by means of specific actions, which the detail associated thereof is with performance management and will be in the annual performance plan. That's the 1-year plan. If we continue and look at our operational priorities, we've divided it into operational and organizational priorities, looking at crime prevention, and we said the first one, the important, is the reduction of crime, and the key action, Madam Chair, is specifically combat crimes, including the trail crimes. Also crimes against women and children, including, of course, domestic violence. And then we also mentioned that combat crimes has a social dimension. Many of these combat crimes are committed in an environment where people know each other. That's just an explanation thereof. Increasing the visibility of tax personnel members. Also, ensure the implementation of intelligence-driven, integrated, comprehensive crime prevention strategy, and we make mention of the illegal pool of firearms, reduction thereof. Continuing, the second priority is the crime perception management. We want to mobilize the communities in the fight against crime. We want to build a positive image of the SAPS. We're looking also at expanding the rollout of victim-friendly facilities and also to conduct an annual victim survey. If we continue, Madam Chair, with crime prevention, we're also looking at the effectiveness and integration of border management. There, our key action is to improve regional cooperation and to contribute to the establishment of border management. If one looks at the policing incidents of public disorder or security measures, that is mentioned here, but it is to look at high and low risk interventions by the SAC. Then, Madam Chair, another priority is the combating of corruption. We want to detect, prevent, investigate corruption in the SAPS. We want to comply with the legislative obligations. We also are going to manage the perceived and actual levels of corruption. And we're going to ensure that it is done in a coordinated manner in terms of our operation across the criminal justice system. If we look at our medium-term target, we are focusing on the reduction of level of serious crimes by between 4 to 7%. That's the JCPS cluster. Reduction of levels of contact crime has been set for 34% and trail crimes 31%, Madam Chair. Continuing with the next slide, the investigation of crime. We want to effectively investigate reported crimes. We also want to coordinate. We want a coordinated focus on the apprehending and charging of known criminals across provincial boundaries and also within provinces. We are also looking at further capacitating the directorate for priority crime investigations and securing the identity and status of citizens. Madam Chair, we are also looking at improving of the criminal justice system, the CJS, by arresting and investigating processes, intelligence utilization within the CJS, coordination of delivery of quality and professional services. We're also looking at improving the capacity, the professionalism of detectives. Medium-term target, increasing the detection rate of contact crimes by 57%, Madam Chair, that is what has been said. If one looks at the support to investigations of crime, then we're looking at the forensic laboratorium, the collecting of evidence, and also at the fingerprint environment, the improving the processing for the updating of records of criminals. And of course, Madam Chair, we also want to extend the capacity of criminal record and forensic science laboratory division. The medium-term target extends the capacity during the next 5 years and the increase of targets relating to processing of forensic and fingerprint evidence. So we want to increase those targets. If we continue and look at the crime intelligence environment, we want to provide an actionable intelligence on crime priorities to address prosecutions, to enhance the prosecutions. We also want to focus on intelligence operations against syndicates involved in drug and people smuggling. We want to capacitate the crime intelligence by improving capacity and resource intelligence operations against crime syndicates. We are also looking at enhancing the analysis capacity to improve the quality of assessments. Then, Madam Chair, we are further going to improve the coordination between crime intelligence to enhance operational activities within the South African Police Service. If one moves to the next slide, human capital development, those are the organizational priorities, Madam Chair, that basically support to the operational priorities. Firstly, we're looking at skills development and retention of skills, focus recruitment of personnel, health and wellness in the South African Police Service, and also transformation. And then we're also going to address our budget and resource management by improving infrastructure, the building of new police station offices, refurbishing of existing police station offices, and also victim-friendly facilities. And within the priorities, we're also looking at the enhancement of information systems and information communication technology. Madam Chair, that is within the staff and also across other departments within the CJS. If one looks at the enhancing of the asset management and critical items, including vehicles and bullet resisting space, which is going to be improved. Then, Madam Chair, looking at the long-term infrastructure and capital asset plan. Now, we have had in the years, I think the National Commissioner, this is what we favor, and the National Commissioner has made mention thereof. I'm not going to further talk about this, but that's what we have favored in our strategic plan, this and the next page.
If one goes then to the Service Delivery Improvement Program, plan of the South African Police Service, it is to improve basic service delivery. The priorities have been identified for the effort is to enhance the front and back office of the South African Police Service and to have service delivery improvement plans at each police station with a service delivery charter. Improving the functioning of the front and back office are mentioned and participated by the police in key national voluntary initiatives such as, for instance, the National Police Day and the Public Service Day. Madam Chair, in terms of the IT, the National Commissioner has referred to it, but basically it is, as I've also mentioned, improving within the criminal justice system and within the SAP, specifically our operational environment. Continuing, if we move to the medium-term human resource plan, I think we can skip that slide and move to the next slide. The following strategies were identified and the managing of the SAPS HR capacity. Madam Chair, there they are, we're looking at recruitment, optimizing of personnel utilization, the development of human resources, our implementation, employment, equity, and the others as mentioned in the slide. The previous slide just indicated more in detail, and all this information is currently specified in our strategic plan for 2010-2014. And the implementation part thereof, Madam Chair, on a 1-year basis is in the annual performance plan. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I don't know whether I'll proceed with the second presentation or in the details to the information on this one. This one is the strategy. The next one is the annual performance plan. The process in the plan.
The presentation will focus on the medium term as well as the performance plan.
We are dealing with the annual
plan. Yes, Commissioner wants me to go through the problem. Immediately zooming into Program 1 of the annual performance plan. Program 1 is administration. The purpose of this program is to develop policy and manage the department, including providing administrative support. And the sub-program entails the minister, deputy minister, management, corporate services, property management. The first performance indicator refers to the percentage of personnel in terms of the approved establishment. The baseline related to that indicator is a minimum workforce of 90% in terms of the approved establishment, and our target is to maintain a minimum workforce of 95% in terms of the approved establishment. Chair and honourable members, in respect of this target, take the 95% as the minimum. The ultimate is to get to the 100%. So that will be the range within which 100%. The second performance indicator is the percentage of learners declared competent upon completion of their training in terms of the training provisioning plan. The baseline here is to be determined. Important to know that this indicator focuses on competency and not on the attendance of members. The target, 80% of learners declared competent after completion of their training in the coming financial year. The third performance indicator, compensation expenditure versus operational expenditure, and our baseline is the balance of 73% in terms of compensation and 37% related to operational expenditure. The target is to maintain the expenditure ratio of not more than 73% for compensation and 37% operational expenditure. The next indicator, performance indicator, is the percentage of capital investment assets, management and maintenance plan completed. Now, the first baseline is related to the bulletproof or bullet-resistant vest. 19,358 are planned for 2010-2011 financial year, and the target is to ensure that all those that would have been procured are distributed, the 100% thereof. The second baseline related to this indicator is related to the fleet, a ratio of 4.5 to 1, in other words, one vehicle for, let's say, 4.5 members or personnel. The target is to maintain or improve on the ratio of personnel per vehicle, focusing particularly at station or in the operational environment to strive for a ratio of 1:4 to the best of 1:3, which we want to pursue in the coming financial year. Capital investment, this is more related to the building of police stations. You'll note that a total of 42 police stations. Again, this must be seen as a minimum that we would want to pursue. The target being not less than 95% of police station projects completed in the coming financial year. So if all went well, much more than the 42 that is mentioned there. The next indicator is percentage of planned development within the police studies the percentage of planned development, sustainability and implementation of systems. This will not only relate to what is in the studies, but also in relation with other departments as mentioned earlier, the JTPS cluster. The baseline for the percentage of ICT projects completed will be determined. In terms of the target to ensure 70% of ICT projects completed in the 2010-2011 financial year. This target is dependent on negotiations and awards of tenders and contracts and technology changes. Thanks for listening to this problem now.
Program 2, and as we say, the purpose to enable police placing, to institute and reserve stations to gift and provide a police light intervention and a policing of the vacant water line. As look at sub-program 1, or the first part of the sub-program, crime prevention. And here we're talking about victim-friendly facilities, the current baseline for what we have at all police stations. 802 of our police stations do have that facility. And in the new financial year, we want to have an additional 79 at victim-friendly facilities. If you look at crime prevention actions, we focus on legal, illegal, firearms, drugs, stolen and robbed vehicles. We're talking about the current baseline of 17,710 actions that was conducted over that period, and we want to increase that in the new financial year to 25,000 crime prevention actions. If you look at the rate of serious crime, contact crime and trail crime, the baseline is 2.1 million charges being registered in the 2008-2009 financial year. And we want to reduce that between 1 to 1.8% in the 2010-11 financial year. 1,407 contact crimes per 100,000 of the population. We want to reduce that to 1,288 per 100,000. And trail crimes is 97.1 at the baseline per 100,000. We want to reduce that to 90 per 100,000. If you look at escape from custody, we have an average of 762 incidents, and we want to halve that in the new financial year in the new financial year for each year. Borderline security, currently the average is 225 police actions and the borderline, and we want to conduct 330 actions in the 2010-11 financial year. When it comes to specialized intervention, that is your medium to high-risk incidents, and here we refer to the role of public order policing, CRT, national intervention, and special task force. It was that between 80 and 90% incidents to be stabilized. We want to up that to 95% incidents to be stabilized in the new financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Honorable Chair. In regards to the purpose presented, this is the investigative work of Guardian and Police Services, including providing support to investigators in terms of forensic evidence and the Criminal Record Center. But I'm going to stick specifically to crime investigation, the sub-program crime investigation. The performance indicator is a detection rate for contact crimes, contact-related crimes, proximate crimes, crime defense and police action for protection, and other serious crimes. Our baseline averages for the period 2006-2007 was in the region of 42.86%. Our target for the projected year is in the region of the range between 43-60%. In regards to percentage for quarterly cases for contact crimes, we should have to determine that jointly with the National Prosecuting Authority, and the target will be determined as well in this current financial year. In regards to detection rate for crimes against women and children 18 years and against women 18 years and above, that is murder, attempted murder, all sexual offences, common assault GBS, our baseline for the past period of 2007-2008 and 2008-2009 was 67.47%. Our detection rate for that period for the coming year 2010-2011, we have increased the range to 68 to 75%. Similarly, in regard to the percentage of property cases for the crimes against for the same type of crimes, we still have to determine what the National Prosecuting Authority for the current year. In regard to detection for crimes against children under the age of 18, on average our detection rate was 75.14% for the periods of 2007-2008 and 2008-2009. We have increased our detection rate to 76% for the period 2010-2011. Similarly, in joint collaboration with the Prosecution Authority, we're going to determine the issues of quarterly dockets so we can be examined for the following year for that period. There's one more item. Can you go back to the first? The last item is percentage of court in the cases for corruption in relation to cases reported. We're also in collaboration with the prosecutor's authority as well as correctional services. We want to create one similar, one compact case in whereby we'll be able to relate the tendency of corruption in regards to doctors, in regards to manipulation of those cases. So we should determine the process and we want to be assessed in the following year. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm continuing in the field of the specialized investigation, starting with the performance indicator. The detection rate for commercial crime related cases, the baseline we have taken is 16,922, which is a 38.69% in the 2008-2009 financial year. The target set for the, this coming financial year, the detection rate has been taken from 40 to the range of 50%. The performance indicator with regards to percentage of court-ready cases for commercial crime-related charges, we have taken the baseline of 11,668, which is 26.68% in the 2008-2009, and then the target for this 2010-2011 is between the range of 30 to 40%. The last performance indicator is the percentage of registered organized crime project investigations that are successfully terminated. We have taken the baseline of 40% in the 2008-2009 financial year, and the target set is 50% for the 2010-2011. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the sub-program criminal assistance, the performance indicator here is percentage of previous conviction reports generated within 30 days. The baseline is taken here is 72.25% reports generated within 30 days for 2008-2009. The target set here is 76% offenders' previous conviction reports for crime-related fingerprints generated within 30 days in 2010-2011. And this is dependent on the upgrading of the system. Looking at the forensic science laboratory, the performance indicator is the percentage of exhibits analyzed for forensic analysts within 35 days. The baseline here is 91.74% exhibits analyzed within 35 days over the period of 2006-2007 to 2008-2009. The target set, it will be at least 92% entries received by the forensic analyst analyzed within 35 days in 2010-2011, with the aim whereby we intend to raise 5.5%. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Program 4, crime intelligence. The purpose of this program is to manage crime intelligence and analyze crime information and provide critical support for investigations and crime tracing operations. Madam Chair, before I tell the performance indicators, you will realize that when we come to the target, in all the sub-programs, where the desire to maintain with the intention to increase the previous base time. This has been done because we have taken a new recruitment drive in terms of look at role in CI, who those people have produced undergo training so that they can be able to meet the standards of crime intelligence. Conversely, indicator number one, number of cluster and ad hoc ex-network intelligence operations on product crime production. And the baseline is the 8,103 cluster operations and part of operations of 6,559 for the previous year 2008 to 2009. The target, as I indicated, is to maintain with an intention to increase the number of operations and transportation of electric to the baseline figure of 8103 total operations and 6559 annual operations in 2010-2011. Coming to second sub-program with intelligence and community management, the baseline is 62500 operational analysis reports during 2008 to 2009. And once again, we intend to maintain with intention to increase the number of operational analysis reports related to the baseline figure as of 62500 operational analysis reports in 2010 to 2011. The second bullet is with respect to 78,000 research, digital spacing, and cluster intelligence support during 2008 to 2009, of which, in terms of target, once again, to maintain and maintain increase this kind of report for 2010 to 2011. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Program 5 for the Tarasian Police Service, Protection and Security Services. EPO provides protection and security services to all identified signatories and government users. Governmental objectives minimize security violation by protecting foreign and local prominent people and securing strategic information. The IT program 1, sub-program 1, the IT protection, the sensitive security duties in relation to security provided. The baseline is 95% for 2010-2011 to strive to reach 100%. Similarly, the static protection environment, security violation, baseline is 98%, to also try and strive for 100% protection. The percentage of safe delivery of cargo, here in particular referring to the left hand cargo, and 8% of the baseline will apply for 100%. Program 3, railway police, rate of contact times in the railway environment, performance in Chicha, baseline 7,353 contact times reported in 2008-2009, including 3 of time. The target is to reduce it by 8.5% in 2010-2011. Government security regulator, degree of compliance with institutional framework. On average, 196 strategic installations are placed over the period 2007-2008 and 2008-2009, 50% from the total of 207 identified strategic installation upgrades 2018 March 2011. On average, 151 national key points evaluated over the period 2007 and 2009. All national key points 165 evaluated, that will be our target in 2010-2011. Last, start program cost of length entry, performance indicator number of length time prevention, combating action, enhancing the national security, territorial integrity, focusing on legal firearms, illegal goods and drugs, stolen robbery, rape, illegal migration, movement of the wanted suspects in and out of the republic. Baseline of average 2,380 planned policing operations conducted for 2008-2009. Currently, minimum of 3,848 planned actions as part of entry for 2010-2011. Basically, on the count of the number of people that are going to be deployed. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I want to make the emphasis on intelligence that there's a lot of intake and training that is going on. What should be the 10% that we want to add on this land to achieve with the training that is going on? If we go back to the 42 that wants to provide, including the revamping what do you mean? Madam Chair, you go to Eastern Cape. There are 50 power stations without electricity. There are 2 without toilets. We say you can't live with that situation. Every bill can be 2 hours, but that must be corrected, and you want to push that much harder and much faster so that we do away with it as we do for the construction. Moving forward, now we come to hard figure. I don't know whether we discuss here or we go straight to hard figure.
I think since my former commissioner spoke to us and said to students or to stop. Okay. So that's the thank you, Chairperson. After the multi-year strategic plan presentation and after the 1-year annual plan, 1-year book, the figures established in the estimates were published extremely for the collection of books tabled in Parliament by the Minister of Finance. If we then go to the first slide, normally it's a slide that basically refers to the 2009-10 financial year, the current financial year, and we've just indicated to you that with the year end coming closer, this is yearly indication that after year end closure, annual financial statements, the annual report will be compiled, and then obviously the legislative oversight will take place, as I recall correctly, normally during September, October. For the current financial year, we will then have to account for our actions in the current financial year. We also provide sometimes nearly a few indicators in order for the current financial year, in order to indicate to members that it appears all indications are that steps are on its way to expand on the critical items as indicated previously to the committee, and normally we refer to the additional personnel, the vehicles, the ideas, priorities, bulletproof vests, capital works, and so forth. As we said, actually, these figures will have to be audited, it will be incorporated in the annual report, and then it will be discussed by the portfolio committee. If we then move to the multi-year figures, for the coming NPF cycle. As background, we've included nearly a slide with the 3 kinds of expenditures that one might find in the estimate of public expenditure. The whole program structure, which refers to the purposes and objectives on which funds are expended, such as visible policing, detective service, and so forth. The items, then the item structure, which represents the estimated expenditure on the goods and services, such as compensation, such as goods and services, such as capital equipment, such as buildings, such as transfer payments, required in pursuance of the department's objectives. So one can classify the expenditures according to program, tax program, or according to items. And then an internal aspect where we have cost centers, which we call responsibility centers, which are organizational units which the accounting officer entrusts with operational budgets to pursue their operational plan. The estimate of expenditure is compiled across government according to the first 2. Now, if we then go to a top-down approach, where we start off with a broad policy indicators by government, the first thing that one would have to take into account on a sequential basis was the medium-term budget policy statement. We referred to this also at the strategic session of the portfolio committee in Pretoria and Kiwistruan, and one will immediately see that government has indicated in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in the 5th priority, it states very clearly that the fight against crime will be intensified. Then secondly, there is the medium-term strategic framework also released by government, and strategic priority 6 contains a number of indicators of what should be achieved in terms of policing. These are consistent and has already been indicated in the strategic plan, but we've included also here as it links the plan and the objectives to the budget figures per se. Then, if we go to the next one, it's a new addition that has been added. If we compare it with the TV Stewart presentation, where the President, in his State of the Nation address, inter alia, refers to the reduction of serious and violent crime, and ensure that the justice system works efficiently, very important aspect, implement plans to increase the number of policemen and women by citizens over the next 3 years. Then also the Minister of Finance refers to use the phrase making our community safer and enforces bullet point which he indicated in his budget speech. If we then go to the macro figures and the basic total increases that the department received, one will immediately see that from 09-10, the current financial year, until the end of the financial year, one will be, from 1 to 12. A very important aspect, before we get to the figures per se, is what the National Commission also referred to, and which we have also brought to the attention of members of the committee. And that is the overall, overarching broad-spending priorities in the department. The first one is obviously we expanded quite significantly as personnel numbers over recent years. Then also this capacity has to be developed and trained better, especially in certain prioritized environments, such as the investigative environment. Secondly, the National Commission also referred to the whole aspect of skill development, which is associated to bigger personnel numbers and especially young personnel, which we brought into the equation. Thirdly, the intensification of the technology focus, such as the CGS review, where huge funds will be spent on technology advancement, the IGS modernization, and then also for those applications to be hosted, and we have to perform network upgrades. Then, fourthly, there's also the improvement of physical infrastructure. Now, physical infrastructure is also very important, not just as indicated by government, but also in the South African Police Service, as we have to expand our services and intensify them, especially in the rural community. Then, an important and new aspect is the vetting of resourcing of the DPCI. The Directorate for Priority Crimes Investigation has been vetted in the SAPS with the effect of 2009-2010, the current financial year, and this is a new addition to the program structure of the South African Police Service. Obviously, everybody is well acquainted and also with the World Cup that is less than 100 days away, which is a very important priority for the South African Police Service in terms of provisioning of security, and then also the last overarching priority, engaging with communities in support of policing. If we look at some of those, one would immediately see that the DCCI as well as the recruitment and the training focus will be new priorities in terms of either a new kind of service or a significant intensification of existing resources. If we now go to the broad overview, the macro total amount that will be received by the department should Parliament approve it, is the amount of 47.6 billion, 52.5 billion next year, 56.9 billion in the subsequent years, and 60.4 billion in the outer years. A very important aspect, which has been mentioned under the operational aspect, also that we try to maintain a split of more or less 73%, 27% in order not to spend all our funds on compensation or personnel expenditure, to use the old term, and then run into problems in terms of operational expenditures, as we feel and have determined that it is a credible ratio to maintain in terms of the two broad spending categories. If we look then to an interpretation of the above graph, one will see that the nominal growth from the current financial year until the end of the new NPA period, 2012-2013, which will be 60 billion, is a 26.8% jump. If one looks at the average annual nominal growth since 08-09, it gives one 8.3%. The strong growth mainly reflects capacity for employment of personnel, capital infrastructure, and technology modernization, in short. Now we get to the very important point, the
the point of new allocation. This is a slide that we have presented as a key to the specialization that we have now apportioned it a bit further to provide some details in this regard. There are basically three broad categories: the health personnel experience and compensation, then the accommodation environment, and then the establishment and the territory of the DTC, the property DTCI and personnel. If one looks at the personnel expenditure, one would immediately see that there's a carry through of the 2009 salary adjustment to the value of 1.3 billion, 1.4 billion, and then 1.7 billion. New pleasing personnel to the amount of 200 million, 230 and 250 million. Then the accommodation environment, which is an amount over and above the current baseline allocation, is 150 million, and then a significant jump to 500 million. A portion in the first year, in 2011-2012, 50 million for capital work, 50 million for maintenance, 50 million for municipal services. In the subsequent year, 300 million for capital work, 100 million for maintenance, and 100 million for maintenance services, certainly 500 million. Then we also have a whole DTCI environment with new money in year 3, 150 million, and then they carry through from the vote justice, funds suspended from the vote justice and transferred and, to the vote of the Department of Police to the value of 205, 217 and 228 million. Now, Chairperson and members of honorable members of the committee, we get to the overall program structure, and the program, as we said, is first to the broad aims and objective as will be found in the vote of the Department of Police. Firstly, one will see this five programs. This has been a financial statement which has been discussed many times in the past: asset inflation, visible policing, detective services, crime intelligence, and their protection and security services. The annual performance indicators obviously lead them to these money and serve as performance indicators. Administration, which is not the administration of the department, but which consists of various kinds of sub-programs, serves the department. For instance, and we will do it when we get to it, it contains aspects such as the information technology environment, the whole built environment, clothing, ammunition, uniforms, and so forth. The second, and that's a growth of 14.22%. One of the biggest expenses in there is the medical benefits of employees. Then also visible policing, 19.7 billion, 20.7 billion, with a 4.81% growth, but coming from a very high base, as one would see. Then the detective services, shall we say, a very, very important aspect that has to be enhanced all around, from CRC, FSL, general investigation, specialized investigations, in the next year and years thereafter. Crime intelligence with a credible growth of 10%, and then protection and security services with 13.25%. If one also look at the outer years, one will see that the growth rate is of a sustainable nature. This is in overall the summarized amount to be extended in terms of the program structure at this point in time. That this includes compensation. If we now go to program one, and the purpose is well known to members, one will immediately see that it consists of military minister management, corporate services, and property management. Now, the purpose is to develop departmental policy and manage the department, including providing administrative support. Management, sub-program management, includes the provision for the Secretariat for Safety and Security, which has also presented in the past to this committee, and will also do so. Now, what does it consist of? In 2010-11, the corporate services, that's 14.009 billion, which will then become 16 billion. Corporate services consist inter alia of the whole training environment, 1.386 billion. The information technology environment, 2.984 billion. The information technology environment includes, shall we say, the usual IT, the integrated justice sector IT, which are earmarked amounts, and then also the newly established
CJSEDP, which is intended to enhance efficiency gains within the whole criminal justice system. And logistical services, and those amounts alone are in the vicinity of 12 billion, and it is the main portion of the 14 billion. So in this environment, goods and services are procured in order to feed also into the other programs per se. This is a standardized pre-strike program and by the National Treasury. The increase, as we say, is due to intensified study levels for training interventions, physical infrastructure creation, information technology, and the resourcing of the newly CJS revamped initiative, also including IJS projects. It reflects, in essence, therefore, activities, goods and services for the other programs, such as buildings, computer systems, weapons, ammunition, and uniforms. If we go to program two, Commissioner Namur has already alluded to the purpose, but one very important aspect here is to see or to note that this is the biggest program in the department with a weight of 39% of the total amount being provided to the South African Police Service. It includes the physical policing personnel expansion. It includes borderline execution, which is under review by government, a submission of a comprehensive border control strategy by the JCPS cluster in the future is forthcoming. Specialized interventions at the decrease here due to the personnel employed at station level during the restructuring process. Reservists will also be found under this program and serve as a multiplier. And then obviously also the security arrangements for the Soccer World Cup of 2010 to the amount of 640 million, which you will come to a bit later. This in essence is a visible policing program. It consists of three sub-programs: transition, borderline security, and specialized intervention. If we go to program three, detective service, a very, very important program as well in the South African Police Service, and one that will receive a lot of attention in time to come. One will immediately see that it consists of crime investigations, with general crime of investigation, specialized investigations, the criminal record center, and then also the forensic science laboratory. The program, to a large extent, this program will receive funds for various aspects. The first one being the continued personnel capacity to be increased for detectives across all functions. This means for general investigators, specialized investigators, criminal record center, and for forensic science laboratory. Then also capacity building at forensics by means of additional funds for equipment. So the additional funds for equipment have been provided in recent years. Then over and above that, the CJS revamp, CJS Criminal Justice System revamp initiative, will also strongly supplement further capacity enhancement at both forensics and the criminal record center in terms of further equipment. Then specialized investigations, consisting of the DPSI, the latter that incorporates the former DSO, commercial crime and the organized crime. And then we refer to the managed shifted from justice to the South African Police Service regarding the former DSO. The new money for specialized investigations, as we have referred under the slide when we dealt with a new allocation, is 150 million. And then, although training will be provided, or the funds for training will be provided under Program 1, the detectives will receive specific training focus in time to come. The fourth program we come to is the Crime Intelligence Program, a program which consists basically of two sub-programs, Crime Intelligence Operations and Intelligence and Information Management. The purpose of this program is obviously to manage crime intelligence and analyze crime information and provide technical support for investigations and crime prevention operations. The personnel payments are the largest component, and the associated costs with the personnel payments, the personnel that are appointed in terms of fuel, oil, travel, and subsistence This is the program intelligence environment. Then we get to the program 5, protection and security environment, which includes VIP protection services, static and mobile security, port of entry security, rail police, the government security regulator and the operational support. The port of entry security environment and the rail police environment are relatively new additions in recent years to this program, and has received credible funding in order to address a variety of challenges at the port of entry. The increase mostly due to intensified funding levels for the continuation expansion of rail police projects and various ports of entry, prioritized inter alia the following purchases, and we provided some of the items that have been purchased and will be purchased in terms of the two environments in this regard, and it is self-explanatory of nature, such as anti-gas respirators, protective clothing, ride shoes, CCTV system, and basins, water posts, park zones, and so forth. This is basically in the protection security environment. We've now dealt with the one category of expenses. That was the program structure, the aims and objectives of the load. Now we get to the item structure, where we take the same amount and we divide it according to items. This is a very busy, transparent slide, and one will then immediately see the current payments, the transfer payments, and the payments for capital assets. The current payments consist of compensation of employees and goods and services. The compensation of employees is the biggest portion, and then goods and services, as well as buildings and machinery and equipment. These line items have been funded in order to achieve or to fulfill the functions as indicated under the program structure, as we will see on the next slide, which is a summary, a high-level summary of what it exactly consists of. The compensation of employees is the biggest spending category, compromising plus minus 71% of the total budget. The spending is essentially to pay salaries and contributions to pension funds and medical benefits. Increases are to provide for new personnel and annual salary increases. Then under the second category, under current payments, in goods and services, operational expenses are provided for, and the increases over the medium term will allow for additional goods and services to be used by the department and to fuel to the value of 1.6, 1.7 billion per annum, and other requisite fuel and oil, small tools, equipment, traveler subsistence, communication, and uniform are all under this kind of item expenditure. The second summarized category are transfers and subsidies, which reflect basically unrequested payments. Unrequested payments is where there is no absolute counter value, so to speak. And the funds transfer to other institutions and individuals. In other words, it includes all unrequested payments made by the department. It means that one does not receive anything directly in return for the transfer to the other party. And for instance, to province and municipalities, mostly for the payment of vehicle licenses, departmental agencies, landing fees of aircraft and instruments, the grading of pilots, and then households. This category reflects an increased level of spending over the medium term as to sustain a sufficient level of funding for discharges, retirements, payouts, death grants, medical treatment of detainees, and injury on duty, and the civil claims environment. The last big category is the payment for capital assets, goods that can be used continuously for at least a 1 year and longer, and from which future economic benefits or potential are expected to flow. And the two big items there are buildings and other big structures and machinery and equipment. Now, all the programs can also be divided into items. Then it has been deemed appropriate to also indicate to members on a very high level summary of our compensation environment, the so-called 71% that was just referred to in terms of compensation, with a wage bill of nearly 26.7 billion, investments, new investments to come for the next financial year of 2.6 billion,
allowances to the value of 1.1 billion over time to the value of 747 million, which includes the 600, or a large portion of the 640 million of Soccer World Cup 2010, and then rental allowances and the medical fees to the value of 4.4 billion, and then also stage two and promotions, which in the vicinity of 375.2 million. All in all, 37 billion, which is 71% of the South African police service budget. Then we get to a very important aspect. The National Commission has also referred to this aspect, and that is the SAPS enlistment program, which is forthcoming. Firstly, significant capacity expansion already took place. The appointment of new enlistments over the medium term period is planned to total approximately 17,559, comprising of 6,100, 6,600 and 4,700 respectively for the 3 years of the MTN period. Then we say since 2002-03 when the program started until 08-09 last year, already 64,180 additional personnel were appointed apart from the 29,000 replacements as well. The 53% increase. Growth from 2002-03 when the program started up to 2012-13, which is at the end of the forthcoming new NTS cycle, is anticipated to reflect 81,660 new personnel apart from 47,000 replacements as well. That's a 69% increase. And allocation as members are very well aware of being performed by means of the resource allocation guide, or the RAG, as the acronym is used in the South African Police Service. The recruitment strategy, with all those personnel, it has been determined and policy directions provided to say that training becomes more and more important. So we have to look at the recruitment strategy where the quality emphasis, and this is also a new direction, where the quality emphasis has been elevated to a very higher level. Where we said that in order to maintain and grow more slowly, we will have to affect replacement. But in order to attract also better candidates in your enlistment process, the stipend has to be increased. And then also specific skills areas have to be prioritized. That actually means that if we have to spend more on the stipend, numbers have to be influenced, and therefore also the slower growth in terms of quantity, not quality. The prominence of investigative services, including general investigations, investigators, specialized investigators, forensic and crime scene analysis, must please be noted under this recruitment strategy as well. And then also, the department is currently assessing and assessing a review of conditions of employment to enhance retention as well. The training provision, in order to address all the personnel that has been enlisted and appointed in recent times, is very important, and we say the growth in personnel numbers also require significant skill development in order to promote and enhance the quality of skill development. The target group analysis, the size, people, trained, skills to be obtained, interventions, etc., and then prioritize the results of the analysis according to the strategic operational priority, and then eventually one gets to a primary training plan. So there's a skill development analysis takes place in terms of size, people, and so forth. One prioritizes the training, and the training provision plan is then determined and compiled for the department. That is basically a broad indication of the process regarding training. We've indicated to members of this committee the types of training that are provided in the South African Police Service previously, which ranges from basic training, entry-level training, to management and leadership training, to crime prevention training, and technical skills training, and so forth. The Divisional Commissioner training has also indicated to members the numbers that have and are currently being trained in the South African Police Service on all of those kind of training courses. Then we've also indicated, we've indicated to members that personnel, skill development, as well as technology, all sorts of technology, but obviously a big part thereof, information technology, is an important objective of the department, and this slide is merely to indicate also to members that the department is spending a significant amount on the integrated justice system modernization project, with a number of projects, as we have also indicated, that TV is through in this regard. It starts from action request to service, EBIS development, cash development, and so forth. And that has been included in your presentation during the draft presentation. Those are the amounts that will be spent in this regard. What is the integrated justice system? In a few words, it's a strategy developed to ensure system integration and better coordination amongst departments in the integrated justice environment. It's focused on the business architectural design. Okay. Emphasize the integration exchange of information between departments, ICT infrastructure, integrated case management objectives, and so forth. If we develop all these applications and software and systems, we have to host these systems. This is basically just to indicate that there is a huge amount that we are spending and will even spend further in terms of the upgrading of the total hosting environment, which will address response times and so forth, and also give more and more stations access to more computer services. In this regard, this is we will spend more than 742 million recurring going forward with regard to the hosting and network infrastructure development. This is merely an indication what we have already indicated to members that if we take the forensic science laboratory, they have a baseline, they have certain amounts which have been included previously with. But not taken out of the baseline in order to address forensic science equipment with certain deafness and substantial increases from 2009-10 to 2010-11 to 2012-13. In addition, but linking very closely, in fact, integrated to the whole investigative forensic science criminal record center environment is the whole criminal justice revamp initiative. And what it provides is a targeted allocation earmarked, by the way, by the National Treasury to support service delivery improvements in the SSLCRC to the benefit of the TJS, specific for those environments, but to the benefit of the broader pipeline environment. To improve the timely investigation of crime, caseload reduction, and improve cycle times of forensic investigators, operational methods such as equipment provided for, system upgrades such as ACES, DNA, and so forth, and then the personnel expansion in both CRC and SSL. So it has an operational element as well as an IT element. If one looks at the figures, which are in addition to the previous slide of CRC SSL, it's 200 million, it becomes 900 million next year, and it becomes 1.8 billion the year thereafter. This is also a new addition, a new direction of government, and it is quite significantly funded. I think each one of us will agree. This is a reference to the whole built environment, the property management and golf fund from the Department of Public Works, and what funds for which kind of category. Members are acquainted with this category, and then we've also reflected the additional amount over the NCF, the 150 million, the 500 million, which have been added to 2011-12 and 2012-13 in this regard. The Soccer World Cup, a very contentious issue at this point in time, and just around the corner, so to speak.
funds were provided for equipment and machinery in this year, 265 million, 614 million for the next financial year, and the latest amount mainly provides for the deployment of large numbers of police officials prior to hearing and after the 2010 Soccer World Cup, as the National Police also referred to the deployment or to the plan in terms of the Soccer World Cup. And it's mainly for overtime, and subsistence and transport. Growth in personnel numbers provided for the 2010 Soccer World Cup deployment in addition. Chairperson, we've made a summary in order to say what has the South African Police or the Department of Police already attended to, are ready to attend to, or will be attending to in recent times. If we look at the broad categories, one would see compensation-related payments, personnel targets, stipend increase for new investments, etc. We also have the establishment of the Division of Protection and Security Services, aircraft, and we've again ordered some helicopters. Elections have been dealt with. Training is a big, big priority in the South African Police Service. Reserves aspects have been addressed. New policing infrastructure, property leases and maintenance are getting attention. The IJS program, which reflects the inter area of technology, modernization and expansion of the vehicle fleet on an ongoing basis from year to year. The establishment of the DPCI has been brought into the department. Firearm control system is being attended to. The aspect of borderline security is under review and will be taking a certain direction. General equipment, the whole thing about bulletproof vests and so forth, the TJS review or revamp that I've just indicated. Operational deployment system for vehicles or AVL team has been attended to. Upgrading of resource capacity of the FSL. The upgrading of the network and hosting infrastructure in the preparation for the Soccer World Cup 2010. It is trusted that the presentation will reflect the priorities as indicated by the National Commission in terms of youth development, technology, personnel, Soccer World Cup, infrastructure, and engagement with local communities. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think with the pleasure I can hand back to the
Thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner, and thank you for the presentation. It's been a lot of information. I think we're sure that before we take questions, the need for that for 5 minutes and everything that there is key after. Please let us be back here, not later than 5 o'clock. According to that one. So please let us be later than that.
Oh, en el centro miro con pleguero, ¿eh? But then in slide 9 of the performance plan, it says that all serious crimes to be reduced by 1 to 1.8%. Can somebody just explain to us why that contradiction? And then second part of that question says that I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that we have a situation where we say there's a reduction of serious crime between 4 to 7%, while the previous target has been one of between 7 to 10%. Now, we've asked this question at a number of occasions, at least in different forums as well. But nobody has been able to explain to us why we have this. We know that we haven't achieved the target in all areas, the 70%. But we were very close to achieving most of that in serious and violent crime. Now, we are saying that we want to change the perception of people around crime. One of the things that the President has said is one of the CJS priorities as presented by staff management today. How do we justify that we bring that target down to 4% where it was 7 to 10%? For me, there's a contradiction in saying to people that we haven't achieved our target. So now, instead of trying to achieve that target, we're bringing it down. I would like an explanation on that. I'm certainly not very comfortable with the situation unless we can get a very, very logical explanation around the issue. Second question, Chairperson, is the one on detection rate. And it basically goes for all the programs under detection. It says the exception of the rules where the increase is a bit more. Again, the detection rate there, the increase for the performance plan is very, very, very low. I think the highest one that I've picked up is a 1.3.1% increase in your performance, and that is for crimes against children. The rest are like 0.14%, 0.15%, 0.86%. If we follow the route that the President has set out in terms of the year of delivery and also again talking about managing the perceptions of crime, do we really believe that these performance targets are adequate? Because in the end, you as management, and I'm talking specifically to state services, are going to be measured on whether you could achieve these targets or not. Now, with the increasing number of detectives, the increase in the number of financial focus on the detective plan, how do you justify that this 0.18%, 0.14%, 0.13%, 0.15%, can you really say that is sufficient? I'm a politician, and from a political point of view, I don't think it's and I would like to again have an explanation why
we believe that it's sufficient. I don't believe it's motivating. I don't believe it creates a trust, a relationship of trust with obviously the one to have between the public and the police. And I think we need to have a bit of a greater explanation on this. First of all, on the contradiction, but secondly, also on the fact that why has it been brought down? Second part of the question on inspection is why do we need to determine with the NPA how case really docket? And why is there no baseline? Because surely there's been a baseline previously. You see the baseline if you look at the walks at their columns. You see that there's been a baseline. Now you can say that you want to determine with the NPA for whatever reason the court really cases. As your target for this financial year and the following the financial years that follow. But they must be a baseline. There's been a figure before. Whether that figure has been acceptable or not is a different story, but there's been a figure before, there's been a baseline. Why is there suddenly no baseline? I would like to know regulation 19.2 of the subject determines that every 3 years, at least every 3 years, the National Commission will have to review job descriptions and post titles, and when necessary, redefine them. When last was that done, and when can we expect one again? Also, the Human Resource Development Plan, Section 22 of the regulation, must be submitted to the Minister on an annual basis. Whether that is available and whether that has been submitted yet. Jefferson, I will leave it at that and say, I don't want to ask if you should know because I just want to get a job and I will ask if there is time for a follow up.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, in relation to the proposed establishment of a border management agency to manage migration, customs, land, borderline control services, and the like. Now, we already have the Border Control Coordinating Committee, although it doesn't work, but we do have it. It exists and it includes SAPS, SARS, Home Affairs, Agriculture Health, and Public Works. The Auditor General has done an audit on border security, found the land border control undercapacitated by 71% and sea borders undercapacitated by 96%. So what can yet another agency do? Now, has the SAP, it's a very fuzzy situation at the moment, has the SAP now taken control of this committee, even though by all accounts the borders are being handed back to the SANDF, because SANDF was actually, or the general didn't say that they were a main role player in that initial committee. So please just clarify the situation, it's just very fuzzy. Moving on to this idea of crime perception management. Now, to me, the very phrase matters of PR job on crime, and it seems to downplay the impact of crime having on our citizens on a daily basis. Now, what sort of budget are you currently providing? For example, for your television program and your television and radio advert, and from which program is that coming? This wasn't previously really budgeted for, I'm not sure where it comes from. Possibly visible to you things, but it's a very interesting move, but I fear you might have it that far on you. Oliver Ali has gone in very well to this reduction of crime levels and this bizarre 1 to 1.8 and all contradiction, so I'm going to be interested to hear your answer to that. Your escapes from custody, you said it's an average of 762 annually since 2006, so the reality is it actually is increasing. And it's gone on increasing. So giving an average was a really interesting move. And yet a mere handful of staff members have ever been charged for assisting in these escapes. Now, really, I'd like to know what you're doing about this, because staff members are letting them out and are complicit in allowing them to escape and leaving doors open and giving them means to escape, and they're just not being brought to book. We can't have members like that in the back.
And this is so inappropriate. I mean, really, we can't allow that. So I'd love to know what you're doing about it. The firearm strategy, slide 22, page 11. Now, where is the reference in that slide to you actually getting your own administration in order? Now, we've just had a young Springbok Trumpers who had to pull out of the World Championship where he was going to represent this country because you couldn't get a registration for one of his firearms too. Despite fees, begging, couriering, hand delivering, they did everything but buy you a Rolls Royce a piece. And he still couldn't get a little piece of paper out of you, and he had to pull out of the World Championship. Now, this is just one of dozens and dozens and dozens of cases, citizens waiting up to 5 years for a license. Now, I know we had Director Bosman before this commission, and he stood there under the stress test. He told us to take the stress test to get a license. Now, hello, who is he talking to? We all know, we see every station we go to, some people say they've never seen a license. And all the time they've worked with the state, the whole application is true. The license is just never arrived. It's not happening, it's not working. I warned you when you do this, if you couldn't handle the admin and patently, you can't. So what is being done and why are you not referring to it in this document? It's all very well talking about the study, but the reality is left out of itself and the bill don't know what's happening. That's not quite the way. And but finally, the RP detection is going up by 43 million. Now, I know we do have a few more ministers, so that may account for some of that amount, although I believe it was previously budgeted for. Can you explain why so much more is needed? How many people in total are receiving VIP protection, and how many of them foreign? Do we have that more foreigners now that we're having to protect? I'm not sure where that's coming in. Could you explain, please?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Firstly, I'd like to know, you casually mentioned about taking members away from G station. Now, I've heard that, in fact, on a central station, that's a particular problem, in that members of the station are being taken away for the special tasking on the World Cup. What impact is that having on individual stations across the country for the period during the World Cup? How are they going to be able to function properly? I'm very pleased to see you finally addressing the issue of human trafficking in your plan, but what are you doing in particular regarding that for the World Cup, given that there were reportedly 50,000 people trafficked during the 2006 World Cup? Where are the FCS units? We were promised over a year ago that they are coming back. I haven't seen anything in the budget referring to that. Are they falling under one of the other programs? And if so, can you please advise which one and how are they going to be implemented and raise the budget for it? Last week, one of the priorities is listed as reduction of illegal firearms. And last week, we had a presentation by our provincial commissioners where they showed in the majority of provinces there were far more firearms actually allocated than the number of personnel. Surely that now can negatively affect the number of firearms that are actually used in crimes that are available to be taken away, stolen, hired out, even underscored by some members of the police to criminals. And what are you doing about that? The criminal justice system, yes, that's also very nice part of Jack, and you're looking at the FCJ. What are you doing about the FCJ? We've been hearing about this for over 10 years now. Are you liaising with the Justice Department? Because we feel that they aren't really where we are. What we can spend a huge amount of money on equipment and whatever for it, but if justice is not ready, then we can't do anything about it. So what is happening with liaising with justice? It's very science laboratory as well, spending a huge amount of money. My information is that we've got more than enough equipment in the laboratory. We haven't got enough people to operate, because we know what to do. So all the specialists have been apparently chased away, or otherwise have left because there isn't enough money allocated to their fellows. Now, 1,500 rand specialist allowance, special skills allowance, is not going to keep any specialist person in the set, and they offer a huge amount more than that in private practice. Are you allocating more money for specialist skills? And if so, where is it and how much? As far as the fair processes for recruitment are concerned, I'm very pleased to see that, given that there are not a bar of case indicators that you clearly haven't been doing that so far. Does this indicate a change in policy? And what do you think about the retention of records in the forensic laboratory? You can have it in any analysis of the device, but if you don't keep records of them, it's not going to be helping you to court. And I am informed that you do not have sufficient backup in your record keeping system. This is one other thing I really am worried about is you seem to be concentrating a lot on your enlistment program and in recruiting new people at constable level as opposed to getting back to people who have experience. And we've got a lot of junior people, we've seen them, but we've got a lot of senior people with experience who are needed to help train those senior people. What are you doing about getting that back? The minister has promised to attract people who have the skills, but we already hear of numerous cases where people who have very good skills are being turned away without any reason.
Thanks. In his introductory remarks, the commissioner said that criminals had an advantage over the police. I guess what is going to hear is such a statement, because I think it affects the confidence of the police in fighting crime and boosts the confidence of the citizens. I want to know whether when the police believe that criminals have an advantage over them, whether they can never think of winning the fight against crime. Because it is the police that I believe have not that confidence that they will win the fight. And we always hear about the mobilization of the community in the fight against crime. But there are two issues that always come up in the community when one talks to them about helping the police. And the first one is, many times when they report serious crimes, there are police officials that tell on them, or that tell the accused that so and so has reported, or has made this case against you. And so when those people hear about it, then they confront them and say, I've been told, I'm going to deal with you. So that causes many to withdraw even when they have information. And the other one, obviously, is people open cases, and the police tell them, we'll come back to you. And that becomes the last time that they hear from the police. I have experienced this myself, and I've raised this myself a number of times, that people think that the police lied to them when they said to them, we'll come back to you. And they never come back to them, and they never give people feedback. Now, because they've raised this matter on a number of occasions, is there anything that we can be assured that the police are definitely doing something about? And what should members of the community do when the police always say to them, we'll come back to you, and they never come back to them? And people don't know what's happening in their cases. Under crime investigation, the former national commissioner once answered my question in a way that shocked me, and I want to hear what the company is going to tell about this one. And whenever people complain to the police and they say, we know the people who are selling drugs to our children, and sometimes we say, in this house, drugs are stored, and members of our community are provided drugs from this house. So the question I ask is, for how long? When members of the community show you the house, and they say, in this house, there are drug lords. He says that many of these drug lords are so sophisticated, they even have cameras on their houses. So that when the police want to raid the house, they see them and they hide all the drugs. So now my question is there nothing that can be done? If these criminals and drug lords have all these sophisticated cameras, is there no way of breaking through, or of monitoring, or of ensuring that the police can break through that wall of defense that they have? Because I believe no matter what they do, police must have an upper hand. And when members of the police see the very house they're complaining about not being touched, because the police are saying when they come there, the drugs are hidden, or when they search, they don't find anything. And after the police leave, then they see people out of the house selling drugs again. People become discouraged. They say, what's the risk of complaining and reporting when police don't do anything about the houses and the people we tell them about? So I want to know what commissioner is going to do to solve this problem, because you go into the township, many of the people who are suffering because of proliferation of drugs. They will tell you, we know it is this house, it is this house, this person, and the police don't seem to be doing anything about it. So, Commissioner, speak up.
Thanks, Commissioner Chairperson. I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. The first question I'd like to ask relates to the long-term infrastructure and capital asset plan, as it's indicated in the strategic plan. Now, we've given details here of new police stations, upgrades, etc., over the until 2014. And one appreciates the information that it certainly helps. I mean, I've seen some police stations by competition, so one appreciates this information. But I think the question that we want to ask is, what is the actual backlog? The Commissioner was talking about new police stations are going to be prioritized in rural areas. I quickly counted the number of new police stations over this period, and yeah, they exclude shooting ranges, etc. And if I'm correct, I get to 18 new police stations. But I'm just wondering, if our focus is on rural areas, is the backlog far greater than that? In new police stations, police stations that need to be upgraded. And I'm just wondering, what plan do we have to actually eradicate that backlog? And I know that we'll never have enough money to do it immediately, but I think it would be helpful if we knew if there's an actual plan around that. So that would be my first question. We're told in the budget about the ratio of one vehicle to four personnel. And I know we spoke about this, I think it was last week, and I don't think we really got an answer on this, but again, my question would be, where do we get this figure from? Are we saying that the blanket ratio, every police station, or do we take into account the different terrains of the different police stations? Or do we just say that every police station, that's what you get, one vehicle, two to four personnel? I appreciate the fact that it's been said here that we're trying to bring that down to one to three. I appreciate that. So that'll be my question on vehicles. In terms of crime and terrorism, just a quick question I want to ask, and it relates to slide 17. We were told during the presentation that the number of operations undertaken would remain the same. If I understood correctly, because we've seen an increase in new personnel, and the statement was made that so they can't increase the number of operations. And I'm just wondering, do we not have old staff there, and surely the increase in staff would enable us to increase the number of operations. I'd just like to get some clarity on that, if I can. Last week, and forgive me for raising this, Chairperson, but when the provincial commissioner came here, there was a report that was given. They all reported different things about their provinces. Was reported to us. And one of the things that was raised was the number of poor performing police stations. And I would like to know and understand, how does this budget assist in rectifying the poor performance of those police stations, whatever they are? Because in fact, when we asked, we weren't given real clear answers as to what a poor performing police station is. So if we could get some clarity on that, I think it would be helpful. Salary increase. We often hear, and you may be wrong, because we hear it, but often we hear that salary increases tend to go towards the higher echelon of officers in the police force. But we don't always hear about what is happening to the lower ranking police officers, or constables, or entry-level police officers. And I think it would be helpful if we were able to perhaps be given a schedule that could tell us what is the percentage increase for the various band levels of police officers. Because when you go to police stations, you do often get a lot of complaints from your lower level police officers who complain that they just can't come out on their salaries. So that's the one question. And my last question, Chairperson, in the Sunday Times,
on Sunday. There was a report, I think it was on the front page, of both that were ordered for the police. And they're sitting in a warehouse somewhere, not yet completed. I don't have that article with me, but it spoke about the fact that a lot of the money has been paid over. And I'm just wondering as to if we've paid this money over, how can we, pick up if we haven't received these books? My big concern, that article, if it's accurate, and I don't know if it is, did say that the police of both is in a poor condition, they're very old. And I'm wondering now, what is going to happen if we haven't got these boats? How can we effectively patrol the areas that we have to patrol? Get some answers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, National Commissioner, with the report. My first comment, National Commissioner, is this strategic plan, to me, it looks very good. But how I wish there were some areas where there should have been more flesh than that statement. Because to me, this is, it looks like we can pick up somewhere. The issue of infrastructure, which is strategic. I look at this budget, this 2010-2011, the accommodation proper, the capital work, there's nothing. Assuming that means that money will come from public works or so. But my question, you mentioned an example of where there are no police stations, or if the police station is about 50 or 100 grand per car. So I'm saying, how much are you going to? I know this is a capital project that cannot be done over 1 year. But what is your plan? You talk about police stations in the Eastern Cape that do not have water and other things. How much have you put, I'm talking on this budget, on this financial year? And also, of course, I would be happy if you know this say, this is how you put to give the question of infrastructure this year. These are our long-term objectives that by this particular time, we believe that we have at least brought the issue of this infrastructure. You also talk about reduced intake and introduced base tape. And now, how much have you budgeted for this? That is because it means you're going to retrain, I'm assuming, this policeman. And is there a provision? Because if you retrain, I would assume that it means they'll be taken again out of police action. So in that, I would like you just to elaborate a little bit on the issue of retail. Also, just briefly, the implication of police moving to airport, especially now. You just did an example that what time we airport reading really might take around about 600. 1,600. Now my question is what should be the impact on the visible police and the police station? Fighting corruption within the police service. This has been said so many times. Can we know, National Commission, what is the level of corruption in the APDS? because every time you hear things that sometimes some elements of corruption in the police service, they put the danger of other good policemen. They put the lives of other good policemen in danger. What is the level? Can we know what is the level of corruption within the police service? Is it manageable? Because I also don't believe that we'll ever be able, human beings, we'll never be able to eliminate it completely. So that's why I agree with 100% on the issue of criminals. Criminals are always going to advance, because police only react when they know that there's this type of a crime. Before that kind of starts, police will not react to it. Focus of intelligence of corrections against individuals. I think Greg has spoken about, but I want to know the intelligence. I don't know why can't they pick up these things before. I must say, Commissioner, there has been a lot of good successes by the police in the last few weeks on busting syndicates. But to me, my question is, why can't they stay so long? You know, some syndicates, they go to extend that you find that when you hear, when they are arrested, that they have established themselves to a level of they are now not only established in South Africa, but international, I mean, the lady in Joburg, in Durban, who is now charged with dealing in drugs. That lady, if you look at the story, she has conduct in London, she has conduct in USA, she has conduct in Colombia. So it means to establish that network cannot be done over a few weeks or few days. It means it's taken time. Now my question is to the intelligence. What is their problem? Why? Because the intelligence, in my understanding, the aim of them is to deal with things and give the information to the police to act. Why do they allow this syndicate? Is there a problem in their system? I would say there will be no syndicates listen to, but it seems to me now there are so many syndicates in this country, and normally if you find when they are arrested, you find that there is an operation for a long time. Some of them they even establish factories. You find that they were affected somewhere in Joburg. And say, is there a problem with the intelligence? The issue of service delivery. I hear what you are saying, 1 to 4 people. I heard it last week. But this 1 to 4 people is not being translated to what you hear on the ground. If you arrive at a police station, they'll tell you, we do not have vehicles. This gentleman behind me is confused. That's what the police say, what is that coming through? When he arrived, there was no police there to take it. Fine, he's a member of parliament, he was a lot. But you can, so he could have hired a taxi to go where he got money. But what comes to my mind, that time when he arrived, if a South African citizen had come to them and say, here are people being slaughtered by some criminal in the house, the answer in their voice, they would have voted the same, you know, that we do not have peace. You see, because to me, this is, you know, there are two things that are important in the police service. One is human resource, because police, you have to have policemen and women. The second one is people to be able to make sure that they are able to go and do their work. Of course, the other one, we have already mentioned infrastructure. If police, every time you go to them, they have no people. It could be, Commissioner, that you
vehicles are provided, but vehicles are broken, they're lying at the backyard of the police station. But the truth of the matter at the moment in this country is that the police do not have vehicles to move around. And they say, you call any police station, and it's not only in one province. You go to Mpumalanga, you find the same story, you go to KwaZulu, you find the same story. My question is, how are you going to address in this budget? Because if it's not addressed, this issue of police able to move as quickly as possible when they are trying, service delivery improvement, that's going to be cured, it's not going to work. And now the last question. The 80% of tenants is at competence after completion of training in 2010, I don't know, 2010, 11, 12, 15, 16, the program one is trained all night in 2010. Now, my first question is, what do you do with this 20%, which is not been found to compete? Because it's 80%. And the second question is, what is the trend? 2009, 2010, that is 80% respond to the competent. What is the trend in other areas? Do you have a comparison? But as my last question is for you, what do you do with this 20%?
Thank you, Chair. This Commissioner, thank you so much for the presentation. This is empowering. We were in Mpumalanga recently as a committee. We went to various police stations, but Mayflower is a house converted into a police station. I'm a bit concerned that we live here for 9 years. That police station has been prioritized. Nothing is taking place. Your list here does not include that police station. I'm very worried how this stands. The second thing, Chair, you are talking about engaging with communities in support of policy. Surely here, Commissioner, you are talking about the community safety force. That should be located, managed, and funded by the provincial department. I just wanted to check with you how these are funded and managed. The last question, Chairperson, is around 2010. We, as a committee, we have complaints from your workers, that is your personnel, that the previous soccer workers, their overtime were half the remuneration, and as a result, that was their morale. Can you look into this? Investigate and give what is due to your personnel to motivate them. Thank you, Chair.
I just wanted to echo the question that was expressed, particularly when you know about. Either the fact that this is a house, it does not have police there. And the nearest other police station you can see, it also does not take police. So the two of them, it can be arrived. They have to drive a distance of not less than 100 kilometers to the nearest prison or police station. It may either be a MLO, security, or NELFRED. And each time that a person has to appear in court at Mayflower, they have to drive to MLO to fetch the person back to Mayflower, or from Fabi to MLO or to be received back to Mayflower Court. And it is very true that for over 9 years there's been a request that these police stations be looked into. First for police cells, but of course for a police station of Mayflower. Now in the period of 5 years, there won't be any. I'm just adding on that. They still don't have police cells, they have to travel. And the cost of the drug is important to know as to how much it costs for them each time they arrest. And with the introduction of the fact that this girl where two vehicles will have every time to transport if they detect. What is the cost of this to police if such police stations are still not public? I'm not sure, I was just adding on the question because I think it's an area I know. Another to Aji.
Thanks, Mr. Ben. Thank you, Chairman, for listening and seeing. My question is on the how effective do you utilize informants and how accurate do you approve their aims? My second one is on the procedure. Are you sure the transformation there? Are you sure there are no better? And what about the expensive equipment that has been taken? And just then they are not in power. And at some stage, they either finish as a home machine or been stripped bit by bit. My other question still on the forensics is on the service provider. How sure are we that this service provider don't have a close relationship with serving staff members? By close, I mean husband and wife, like husband and wife. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson. I want to ask about the relation. If you remove the sum of money from another section to another section, it's supposed to be 8%. 8% of a billion rand is a lot of money. Why did that happen? And why is it happening? That's the first question. Why is it happening? How can you remove a lot of money and then explain it and then take it to somewhere else to the other items? That's the variation of it. The second one that I want to link on is the we talk about corruption, but I'm particularly on the right side. There are police personnel that have been charged for rape, and some of them have been suspended. The suspension will pay, and how long does it take? And what do you do at the end of the day if they have been not found guilty or found guilty? I just want to get this sense from you because it's a very important one. The last one, Jefferson, is Parliament. Who represents who on Parliament, Ms. Kirby? Who represents who? Is it your workers or is it your friends that represent your workers? If I mean your workers, I mean the police and the constable and others. Who represent who? Who's supposed to be there in the board? And why is the board is not inclusive? Thank you, Shepherd.
Thank you, Member. I just have two questions. And National Commissioner, as I indicated, that indeed we received the responses to our questions. I have a follow-up question on one thing. particularly on the la corruption commission system. The way it because according to the response, the contract was terminated because the service provider was not doing his better than expected. And I just want to know how much did the system cost and what the change after the termination of the contract was attempted. Also, that the you there are forensic shockers. I'm interested to know as to where are they being stored and if there is any cost related to that, what is the cost? Is there any possibility of loss of those forensic doctors? Has there been loss of those forensic doctors? I'm just asking that question. But also, I'm interested to know on the capital website. Mr. Commissioner, the reason why I asked the question is to say what is included in the budget? It's because, for instance, in 2007-2008, budget for critical work or for construction, building, refurbishment of police stations was 727 million plus. But according to the information that we received from you, only 2-4 police stations were built amounting to 61 plus million and the budget process. And coming to the following year, the budget was 843 million. But the construction of police stations during that year amounted to 243 million plus. For this financial year, current financial year, the budget is around 7 million to 8 because according to the response, so they say 490 something million plus for refurbishment, together it goes up to 700 and something, 800 million. But there are only 2 police stations planned for construction. The question is, why is that a huge budget when in actual fact it's only 63 million? That we use and what I can keep out of market. And I must also mention the fact that these 2 police stations that appear as budgeted for this year also appear in the 2010-2011 financial year budget. And I want to believe that it's also cost important. I'm really interested to know as to what is involved in this budget and what happens, because we've been trying, I tried to get your financial statement so that I'm familiar with what is actually happening. I just need some information on that. Coming to the presentation itself, Mr. Commissioner, slide 7, I think the question has been asked on the 20% on training, but also why there is no percentage to be determined. And this indicator focuses on competence and not on the attendance of members. I just want to know what has been happening before. Is that we're not evaluating or looking at the competence, and that is why you don't have a plan. I'm just interested in that. Also, slide 16. The plan, the target is that 92 entries received by forensic analysis within 35 days in 2000. I just want to know, National Commissioner, why 35 days? I would imagine it should take 2 hours to analyze anything held in a laboratory. It can be said, depending on what you're doing, but why 35 days? What is the 35 days? What does it mean so that maybe we have a similar understanding?
They were to take blood and analyze it depending on what you are doing. It can actually take 2 days. While so many days, I'm just asking that question. Slide 44. I think the question has been asked by this question. I also wanted to check because the union family were here raised the issue of overtime being half and having some challenges with that and blah blah blah, if we can get clarity and that will you be attending to that question and take it out before it was raised, and if we definitely have some concerns because it affects the preparedness for the World Cup. On training focus areas on flexibility, I'm not seeing anything on Child Justice Act change. And I don't know if whether there is budget for this, because in the hearing, the department said that their budget is in-house. That not ask for any budget from children because it is in house. But I'm taking all these focus areas, there's nothing indicating training on this one. Slide 47. I'm talking, National Commissioner, if that allocation for training is also including compensation for employment. I just want to check on this one. And do you use all that allocation? Is it possible that you can get a detailed expenditure on this allocation? Let's come back to it. And I think lastly, it will be the question on suspension. I have a list of people who some were suspended as far back as 2008, and some with others without salaries. And their cases, some have not been finalized. But I think there's one where the case was finalized last year, but today that person is not reinstated. It would seem like the city was supposed to be reinstated last year, but today that person has not been reinstated. My first question would be to say why that happened, that a case is finalized and that it is out, reinstated, but the person is still not reinstated, or reinstated particularly or specifically in the intelligence service section, but for whatever reason, a person is transferred to, I don't know whether crime prevention or what, for whatever reason. Why those things happen? Because for me, it might be an indication of insubordination on the side of the person who's supposed to implement it, and why are these things happening, and I'm asking because I had a record of some of these issues. But what are the practical implications in this regard? I'm just very asking if you have so many list of ahead, the National Commission Agency, if you want to do it, of so many substances that are so many. And lastly, I think the question was asked on your new strategy as a department in fighting crime. Would you consider establishing an anti-corruption unit within the department? I will allow the department to respond to questions. In an event we are not able to respond to all of them, we are definitely going to give you a message for a written reply. And so it will be before our debate team. But let's allow the department to respond to some of the questions.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
question. Actually, I'll take some, I will move. Let me start with the question. First one from the member. If you go to strategic plan, you go to page six on the analysis of crime. You say 3-1-1. All of the prioritized serious crimes are not equally influenced and cannot be reduced to the same extent by the conventional policing as practiced by them. That is why the 7-10 conduct crime reduction targets implemented by the government during 2004-05 for implementation over a 10-year period. From 2 to 2014, was never intended to be solely a set or even overall policy reduction target, for example, also including the metro police and other structures. The 7-10% conduct crime reduction target stated that each category of conduct crime should be reduced by 7-10 per annum over 10 years. Period from 2005 to 2014. Then you move to the question that should be 12, page 12. The medium term, page 12, just above the 411 paragraph. The medium term target for the crime prevention strategy priority will be focused on the reduction of levels of all serious crimes between 4 and 7 over the medium term period. Madam Chair, there is one document that we have added that influences this, is the JCTS document, which has adopted this percentage of the chain of the justice system submitted to the Khuda and adopted by the Khuda, government the Khuda. That in the medium term, while generally in the overall time 7-10 stays, but the document of the JCPS, which is a chain of all departments, will work on this for Mr. Senator. This is a new document subjected to the scrutiny and discussion of the government in Hood and Parliament. Those percentages come from there.
The fact that government has adopted this, the committee also oversight over the executive. That's not mean that we need to agree with. I mean, still, if I listen to what the commission is saying, you're talking about a 4% as a data set target, which I then presume would also include the guilty findings, etc. Because otherwise, why are we putting it in the data set? Okay. But that should not take away from such responsibility to achieve a 7% increase. Because otherwise, it still doesn't give me the answer. The fact that cabinet has approved it in itself is not enough for us to accept this. I mean, it's not giving me the answer why it has been brought down.
But I also want to show you that the annual itself, the objective remains that each individual. No, I'm reading the annual report. Page 3 of the annual report. It says
the objective remains that if individual cases want to offer that crime should be reduced by 70% to 20%. That in which other than a possible than financially. The targets were established on the basis of out comparison with the crime ratios reported by other international member countries and the decreasing trends in the incidence of specifically these crimes reported locally since 1994. Should additionally be mentioned that the further 10% reduction target applies to government as a whole, as well as the people of South Africa, and not intended for the police alone, particularly with regard to the social conduct crime, most of the attempted murders, assaults, and sexual offences are fleeting South Africa. I just want to also try to get the motivation for.
And this, Madam Chair.
Speaker, can you tell us the reason for the change?
Madam Chair, I think I have explained that this 47 is based on what document? It's based on the document of the JCPS adopted by the government, the Hoka. So I get from the member that they've got the oversight of the executive, which has no problem with it. But at the present moment, we ourselves live with that document. As the part of the JCPS. If that document is wrong, we're wrong, but we're not getting from anywhere else except the document that comes from there. So including what we are reading, which is older than this document I'm talking about, Madam Chair. Well, Madam Chair, maybe we'll go back to the reading that you have just read. It was raised that there were areas where police came close to 10%. Yes. And there were areas where they could not come to 10%. Madam Chair, I don't know how that document will come out of the Interpol and all that. Maybe one will come back to that when you answer the question that was raised by the member of the question of crime perception management. They will come back to that. Because if you follow some countries' crime stats, not all the countries, because there are no stats of Interpol per se given by Interpol until they took resolution in Rio de Janeiro in the year 2006 to drop taking steps because members were not progressing the steps. So there is a resolution of the Interpol of 188 members that they shall not take the steps. Having said that, the individual countries that you look at have not achieved anything near to the 10%. I'm sure out of discussion of the JCPS, not of the police, JCPS, people came to understand that let's look at the achievable numbers on the medium term without dealing with 7 to 10% overall. Which means on those areas where you can push up. But there are areas where it will be very difficult to push up, especially those that are in chain with other departments. And those that are difficult, one of those that we all accept will be the conduct crime in terms of women abuse. Why we do all, but it's one area where there is a big difficulty because of the nature of crime that happens between the people that know each other and all the kinds of stuff. So the discussion went around that to understand that not a chance.
Thank
you. Thank you. The one point and small point, the detective will come to that will answer Chair. The current perception management. Madam Chair, there is a sweeping statement that goes around here to say South Africa is the most criminal country. It's wrong. That's a wrong statement. It's a wrong statement, Madam Chair. There is crime, Madam Chair, in South Africa, which is not that high in volume, it's very intense in brutality. South African crime is brutal and violent, no doubt about that. And South African crime, because of that, gets this much upper feeling in terms of profile and everybody coming with this statement, including South Africans, sweeping that we are the West. We must agree and work on the crime exists in South Africa. But we must not and we cannot agree of being the Western South Africa. One nation. I don't know where that comparison comes that you are the West. There are 188 countries that are the members of the Interpol. 188 in the world. Smaller than FIFA indeed. Out of them, there are those that never provide steps and they appear as of South Africa. It would be some of South America, some of Middle America. Because of that trouble, 2006, as I said, in the there is a resolution that says Interpol drops all step collection. Now, if you compare us being the West, where do you base that when there is no generic understanding of statistics? Two, Madam Chair. The South African crime that everybody says is worse is a crime that some trend at the present moment in terms of 1 to 100,000 is moving is beginning to be overtaken. Let me give you the report issued by the EU that more people at the present moment are stabbed in England more than anywhere. London West, more than anybody else. It might not be West in South Africa, but it leads in the EU countries. And that trend goes beyond 1 to 100,000. Now, categories in South Africa will be West, but categories in England will be West. Categories in America will be West. So, crime management must stay the truth. We are West there, we are working on it, but we are okay there. Those are the things that must be said in South Africa, managing the crime itself. Like car hijack. South African car hijack is much less than other countries, but it's violent because after they've been hijacked, they are shot, they are stabbed, they are raped, and all. Indeed, South African hijack is violent, that is intensity in violence, but would be less in volume. So that's why we say, tell what is happening and allow South Africans to know what is happening. But one other thing, Madam Chair, response of South African agencies, including justice system, is not given credit that is due. It happens as if people, they go all the way without a response. There are there is 140% overflow in the South African prison literature. And that those people don't march to prison. They don't wake up in the morning and take black hats and walk to prison and say, please arrest us. They are standing there. And the first line of standing them are police. Indeed, there will be those that are not detected. But with the improvements of which I'm glad that some members have acknowledged that there are those improvements. This unit declared that we arrest 10 top wanted criminals. And indeed, it took them 14 days and they arrested them all. But one problem going to the police manager, almost all these people arrested, that either on bail or on parole. That's another problem. They're either on bail or they're on parole. Most people that South African police are chasing, including the aid that are chasing in Durban. One is arrested, one unfortunately fought short and all. But we'll request later sometimes, I don't know. South African police have been called by the justice. I don't know if you can call the justice some other time. And ask them, why do they give people bail for 42 times? Why does one person get bail for 42 times? Why a person shall get bail 4 times for cash ice? And those people go for cash ice after they've been arrested for cash ice, to get a bail, cash ice, to get a bail, cash ice, to get a bail. Those people that are shorting Cape Town here, I think somewhere in November or December, I can't remember, four. One of the Melon chefs was on bail after he had been given 36 years imprisonment, but got in bail because of honor peace. Police need to chase that person. So these are the pains that police every day they chase, and we say we need to manage those kind of things and all those perceptions on the perception. And the police sometimes taking more flag than what really don't deserve. As I'm saying, we're chasing people and children forever. At a huge risk sometimes. There is this guy who did in Arusha, was arrested at Sankey, the Rolex gang leader. Was arrested after the chase and the exchange of fire. He don't pay him attention for the third time. He don't pay him for the third time. The police in such a risk, shooting and everything, arrested him, he don't pay again. And the Rolex gang facilities are up again. I'm sure we must again go and chase him. If it's before the third time, after the third period of the jet, we have to go and chase it. So, that's the management that please know our story. Madam Chair, retention strategy. Let me try to pattern this. It is across the board problem of the government, by the way. It's across the board. Because we're not allowed to go what is called market-related salaries. With a highly, highly skilled person, that you know, if you throw him or her once out, you won't find him. But you can't, there are lines you can't cross. So we try from within the budget what you can do, what is allowed. But I never knew before I joined the police that there are such a highly skilled area of Madam Chair. Forensic, laboratory, finance, highly. But we have this problem. We can only do what they can do. We can't go beyond the line. Otherwise, treasurer and the auditor general will really see as recruitment versus reinvestment. I don't know what that means.
Like I really ask, you can't go beyond, but do you have a recommended by the task team, which are doing some work in the department and make recommendations? That is the question. Within whatever that
we have and the quotas that we have, or the bigger criminals that you must cooperate with them, what do you have? And in fact, according to the report that we received from the public team that we see from here, the retention strategy, for all those kinds of skills to the entity department.
Let's hear from Commissioner Chair, Madam Chair, specifically respond to that. Recruitment versus reenlistment. Madam Chair, yesterday I spoke to Commissioner here. We got about 3,000 reapplications from the former members. That would be processing. I don't know what that comes from this one to say you are getting people on. Those that are in the office not processed, but you remember that we issued an advert to say those members. But it's not an en masse retaking, because people they left the organization for different reasons. So they are not just going to come back like that. So they have to go through why did you, if you're involved in fraud, involved in such things, you cannot definitely come back to the organization. But for those that they thought they can go somewhere, get the cleaner process, they want to come to contribute, that's all. We've got more than 3,000 for the moment that will be processing.
And how is that going to affect the promotion of the members that are in the
They raised it with us too, and we answered it. I read the question. Madam Chair, people will come, let me take it this way. There's been a very bad stagnation in the promotion of the South African police, general, not out of police. I think there are about 57 or 54,000 inspectors. It's very bad, it's a bottleneck. Maybe all what you want, like Mark and many members, the new structure, the generals and them, are going to give us a big space. A big space. Because you must remember that inspector was two levels of compared. Those are lieutenant and warrant officers. At the present moment, they are not lieutenant. So that is empty. You remember that some captains and major, there was one missing level, major. So no one there between captains and the superintendent. So this would give us a lot of space. So we will have a space. We should address the stagnation indeed. At one time, as we said, you receive this long list of people that are running. We invite the community management and we say, why? We say, look, I've been inspector for 15 years. And indeed, there is no code in that kind of thing. That's one. But the second one, as we said, is what you said in Pretoria. We are also working, we're almost there. We're working the package. That if there are no space for people to move up, at least their package must move up. We know that people like the package and the rent, but people they say they can live with the package if there is not yet no space on the rent. But this will address, and surely there will be enough space for the upward movement with this after April, which is budgeted from Madam Chair.
I mean, just allow me to allow, there are many others that could have. Let me answer the last one of the infrastructure.
Let me start from the easiest. From the 2010, 2011, we want to build a police station where they don't exist. And we want to improve. For example, if you go to Northwest, and Northwest, Northern Cape, I think there are police stations that are in four rooms in township. But Madam Chair, as I said, there are people that need to walk more than 30 to 50 kilometers to reach the police station. So, the priority has been made. What happened? The provincial commissioners were invited to give us their own priority. And then they did. But I remember province that came and they had 47 their priorities. And indeed, it cannot, you can't build 47 in one province. After they had given us, they were all invited together to say, because you do have a national understanding. By the way, provincial commissioners, Madam Chair, by constitution and legislation, are national leaders and put in that understanding. The legislation, in fact, that the commissioner will invite and sit with the provincial commissioners as the board of commissioners to make the understanding of the national approach. That's what the law says. So they understand. So they were invited to say, now work your priorities yourself on the approach. So if people don't see police stations there, it has been worked through the provincial commissioner. But Madam Chair, that does not necessarily mean that they can't be shifted within the program, the building of police stations. The building of police stations, the amount of the new infrastructure this year is 1.1 billion. But simply saying that money, Madam Chair, must go and build infrastructure of the police. One that we have put are laboratories. We are putting these laboratories. We are putting these police stations, shooting range for the skills and all those kind of things. So we say whatever we build today, but take all that money, throw it there. I agree with you, Madam Chair. There would be areas that one would have thought twice. One thing that has taken big money of the South African police is an Eastern Cape project called the TESRA project in Eastern Cape, which is a billion grant. Billion. Clean billion. So I would have taken those billions, as I think we need to take those billions to throw in the service delivery rather than taking 1 billion to one province. But that has happened. So we'll have to live with it and go with it. But from now on, Madam Chair, I can assure you, this management, by the way, yesterday, Madam Chair, we met from 9 and we cut it apart. Those are some of the things that we're talking about. We want to see this police station as we want them to see. But they must be human accommodative. Because I wonder why I hear a complaint about the police station. Maybe take a toilet, Madam Chair, from maybe take electricity. I don't know what happened to the members of the South African police in 12 police stations when there is no toilet. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what happened. So it's one thing that I have requested, that let's change the thing and don't have the thing where people don't know when they have all the where they go. So we will be pursuing with all energy. We are trying, Madam Chair, to put accommodation to some of the police stations, especially in the rural area. The story of the cell we are talking about is the story that one got in Kumala. It's worse because police, they say, commissioner, were beginning to dodge to arrest him. The fact I say, were beginning, because you know, if you arrest the person, he's a whole day wet, making sure that you take the statement, but to take that person 80 kilometers to put that, by the time you come back, the day is over. So we say, if you think you can dodge, you dodge. So, Madam Chair, Mpumalanga, I don't know, you come from there, I don't know how it happened, but it's an extra job more than anybody else. And yes, I concede, I agree, in front of all of you, Mpumalanga is an extra job more than how it happened, I don't know. Have a great that will go there, all of us, and camp for 3 days to find exactly what do we do. If you want the the problem that the members were asking Honorable George, you know, about corruption, please go to Kumana. Go to Kumana if you want corruption, this is South African police. Go to Kumana. If you want it that one wants to work, go to Kumana. If you want a Hollywood province where the whole top management acts, go to Kumana. So it's a province, Madam Chair, that is a kind of area, and we have really seen a problem, but ours is not to complain, is to correct. And we say, give us time to deal with that. How many police stations we make, I can't tell. Well, the question, when are we going to finish, I can't tell. The backlog is big. We'll do all what we can do that we can build two police stations a year. We can't. At least we have asked that let's put 40 structures of the police in here, including you and all that, and we intend to move up, Madam Chair. We can't be below 40. That I put my head on the block. We can't be below 40 projects, re-establishment, building, doing this, we can't be. There'll be more going forward. And I'm very sure these 5 years, by the time it ends, we will not have covered the backlog. Coming back, we would have done what we can. And throwing all the money towards that direction. That's the last question that I wanted to answer myself. Because I think I feel more stronger than you do when we sit down and we talk about this thing. Maybe because I come from the rural area. I'm a rural area boy. I just grew up in Devon, but I'm born in the rural area. I understand this thing. You see, Madam Chair, if you drive from Koshesti to Devon, it's 119 kilometers. The longest distance from police station to police station is 83 kilometers. That is longest. Driving along the city from Koshesti to Devon. It's 33 kilometers from station to station. On the best roads, with best telephones, with lights and everything. But when you go to Mesomyama, where I come from, it's really Mesomyama. So, let's agree that on this one, check us, quit us, live with us, push us to say, people of South Africa from rural areas must begin to feel the South Africa. So far, things are bad in the state, but we will try to correct it. The money we go there will push. Sometimes we find that the money is committed on some other things and all that kind of thing will push. So that is all. The very last point is on IT. Let me read this point. Madam Chair, we are budgeted money. But we take about $1 billion from the South African police to give it to CETA. Let me tell you the problem with this. Big one. And you will help us. We are not going to sign that money to CETA. There are projects that have been requested from CETA 2 February back. And this is technology. If you go to any shop now and you buy the cell phone, and if you go at the end of February, you will find the upgraded version of the phone. That's how technology is fast. But if you go for a technological thing in February, and the another February comes, what is there for you? That's one. Secondly, you are told what to buy. It's us that you know what you need. They are told what you buy. But thirdly, you are giving equipment for 10 rand. They say, of 10 rand, we'll get 15 out of these things if you pay 10 rand. But if you go out market, they say, you'll get 33 out of these 10 rand. Fourthly, this 1.1 or 1.2 billion that you're supposed to send to them, they manage it out of 9%. They take 9% to manage the money that we can easily manage in Mozilla. Why do they take this 9%? How much is 9% of 1.2 billion? What can we do with this 9% that they take it for management? And fifthly, many government departments don't use your sticker, which was meant to be the government issue, but they don't, because people, they run away from these things. So let me say, we are looking at it, we have the question to the minister to look at it, because it does give us a lot of problems in advancing in this technology we are talking about. Thanks, Manager.
Madam Chair, I'm going to talk about the retention strategy. Yes, we do have retention for this Madam Chair, we make it available. Actually, annually we invite various environments that need scarce skills or that have scarce environments like the pilot, like the laboratory, the engineering side of the police, to actually give us their needs. And within the policy of the retention strategy, we actually work those needs in terms of their requirements. And we also, in terms of what is available in terms of the wage policy of the government, we take specialists like the scientists. They don't get in at the normal entry level, but they get in at a higher entry level, and then we pay them various skills. And in order for us to retain specialists, we also sign individual retention contracts with them so that we can have them considered in the police, but also we appoint them as mentors and coaches, and we recruit younger ones from universities. And in that process, we ensure that the transfer of special skills to novice incumbents in those environments where you require specialists.
But then were you involved in the answering of our questions? Because the document that you gave us is suggesting that you could only go as far as giving the whatever the 15,000, 1,000, whatever, 100, 1,500, and so on. But I believe you, I'm just asking that question. But I think we have a challenge with time. National Commissioner, this is how we end up with questions to be responded to in person. When due to time, we're not able to get all the responses, but they are so important to us.
Madam Chair, I will not have to answer the phone. You're such a report.
On the 23rd of this month, we will be adopting our report that we must submit to Parliament for us to debate your budget. So surely we must have this report. And therefore it means it must be earlier than last week. Otherwise we must debate according to EME 2910, we have 31,260 detectives. But according to the AG's report, according to the number of detectives, according to your response, you said you have 23,022. But in the AG's report, at EMC, you have 31,406.
communication speech. The responses that he sent to us are 23 and 22. 23,000 and 22, but the ELE is referred to 31, and then we get the correct answer to the speaker to that question. National Commissioner, we definitely are going to request that we will get these responses before the speech. We are going to communicate to the state and the government because I don't get any salary here with me or any having that, but any salary with me. We will request you to respond to questions that the most responded to the meeting. And I think our meeting will be so upset that we have less questions. And probably follow up questions. Mr. Commissioner, it is true that we appreciate some of the good things that are happening in Haiti, that are on paper, are resting with the listeners. But also, it is true that we will also raise issues for which we can express our concerns at the Portfolio Committee. And the staff representative. They include issues that are based on facts, but sometimes perception. Because I think it is important that we also work on perception, but we can say why it is such a perception. Because, Mr. Commissioner, I should say sometimes I think the police contribute to the perception on high crimes in the country. I go and often we sit and drink today, and because we are drunk, I go and open the case. The 5, 10 years, the following day, I go and close the case, but to you it's a case. Sorry, TBH. It's counted in your crime set, TBH. And it isn't anywhere in your document that when it says, indeed, it was open, but it was later closed, so that it's no longer there a case, because there are two people who were taken together, they assaulted, and so on. There is nothing like that. So it remains assault TPH instead of assault TPH actually being treated as an understanding in example. I think this is one thing that we raised earlier on after we're discussing your analysis. So that maybe it's important that even crime statistics talk to these important things to say, oh, these are how many were real crimes and how many were not real crimes. But having said that, it doesn't mean that people in Mayflower must open doctor cases and without any investigation or proper investigation says no, it's not a case. And National Commissioner in different found told that a person who is owning a car that is the statesman who also owns a truck, the statesman. So cows or cattle are stolen from people's cross, and for whatever reason they end up in that pound. And for them to get them back, even if they were stolen, they have to pay. And they pay to the owner of the pound. And some of the things that are very wrong, and I'm just raising that, they can it that influence the owner to commit some of this crime so that he gets money for each house when, you know, the salary is not enough for his household things and that thing. These are issues, and National Commissioner, and indeed I will hold you accountable for your commitment that you will be going to the Malang. As the National said, initially you said it would be enough, and I will request that you don't reduce it to 3 days. You adhere to that month. Visit to Mpumalanga as back management because I think it is important. And we are saying that acknowledging the fact that the provincial commissioner there is new and we think he is bringing some code change. This one can notice that I come from Mpumalanga and there is really tense. There are changes that are taking place in Mpumalanga, but I think I will really hold it to your word that you said you will be going to Mpumalanga. If I don't ask that question before the 11th of July. But you must expect it after that. I will not ask it before the 11th of July. If it
happens before that will be happening. But after the 11th of July, then we will be expected to account for it. Thank you very much for the meeting. Thank you, members, for the questions. I remember we will have more other follow-ups on some.